Hey everyone, I'm Thanos Davelis, and welcome back to The Greek Current, a podcast by the Hellenic American Leadership Council and Kathy Merini, where we highlight the top stories of the day every afternoon with analysis from guest experts, policymakers, journalists, and HELC staff. This summer has highlighted a number of challenges the world is likely to face as a result of climate change, from the deadly floods in Germany and Northern Europe to heat waves and wildfires that ravaged Greece, Turkey, and Mediterranean countries. Another area that is increasingly under pressure is the sea. This year, we witnessed a thick, slimy layer of so-called sea snot cover Turkey's Sea of Marmara and then spill into the northern Aegean. Scientists and experts warn that climate change and human activity, such as pollution, are pushing the sea to its limits. Dr. Stella Psara joins The Greek Current to talk about how the climate crisis is impacting the Mediterranean and Aegean seas and what's at stake for countries on its shores like Greece. Dr. Stella Psara is Director of Research at the Hellenic Center for Marine Research and a biological oceanographer specialized in phytoplankton ecology with 25 years of experience in marine research. Dr. Psara, welcome to The Greek Current. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you very much, Thanos, for your kind invitation. I'm very pleased to talk with you on these issues of great concern.
Dr. Psara, before we get into the specific case of the Mediterranean and the Aegean seas, can you walk us through the key concerns that scientists have when it comes to the way climate change and rising temperatures are affecting the world's oceans overall?
Yeah, it seems that we are at a turning point. Generally, those last decades, we're experiencing acute phenomena of wildfires and floodings, and these phenomena are taking place more often all the time. So rising temperatures on a global scale will firstly change the general pattern of circulation of the global ocean circulation. As we all already know, that there is a weakening in the Gulf Stream current, which will have a huge impact in the northern European countries, as we know. Another great effect is that increase of temperatures in the atmosphere and in the surface layers of the sea will increase the stratification of the water. That is, the water will be less and less mixed with the deeper layers, so the replenishment of surface layers will be weaker. That is, the productivity in the surface layer, which actually sustains the whole production and sea life in the world ocean, will go down. So this is a very pronounced effect that will take place if increasing temperatures will keep that way. Overall, there is a destabilization of all ecosystems that are functioning under certain environmental conditions, certain temperatures, and certain equilibria between the atmosphere and the ocean. So everything is going under a phase of destabilization. Another effect that we very well know, all of us, it's that increasing temperature, of course, will increase the melting of ice cover, and we are going to have a sea level rise, and we can imagine what the impact will be in the coastline and all coastal areas that are most populated along the globe. So this is a huge impact that we are expecting as well.
While this month's wildfires have rightfully dominated recent headlines, it's important to recall the crisis at sea we saw earlier in the year, where sea snot covered the Sea of Marmara and even spilled into the northern Aegean. Scientists and experts have pointed to climate change and pollution as the main culprits here, and they warned that in some places the sea could be reaching a tipping point. Are we reaching this point in the Mediterranean and the Aegean Sea as well?
Well, actually, I would say that pollution is not the major issue in the Mediterranean. The major issue is rising temperature, and this is because the Mediterranean is an enclosed sea with low communication with the Atlantic waters. So as such, it experiences all the effects of increasing temperature in the highest degree. So if we say that the global temperature has risen at about 1 degree, globally, in the Mediterranean, it already has risen at 1.5 degrees. So this is a huge difference, and especially in the Eastern Mediterranean. Pollution, yes, there is pollution, but we know very well that the clear blue waters are very well known globally of the Eastern Mediterranean. And actually, this area is one of the less productive in the world ocean. It's very well known as being oligotrophic and clear waters. So rising temperatures as regards the open waters of the Mediterranean will increase, as I said earlier, the stratification. So we would expect that these waters will become even poorer. As regards the pollution, pollution is localized in enclosed areas, in big cities, in harbors, and is not really a major issue in open Mediterranean and Aegean waters.
You talked about this temperature increase, and there's an article in Kathimerini that talked about how the Mediterranean is becoming more and more tropical. What does this mean for maritime life and for the people living around its coast who rely on the sea for their livelihoods?
This is, again, a general trend. We have this term of tropicalization, which means that species that used to live in tropical waters are moving north and are inhabiting subtropical areas like the Mediterranean. And this has been possible not because they were able to pass through the Suez Canal, because the Suez Canal is over 150 years now built. The issue is that the rising temperatures in the eastern Mediterranean have allowed them to find a more familiar place to settle. So there is a general trend of species moving north. So the same will happen to the land. I mean, there are studies that say that areas like Crete, for instance, where I live, will experience much higher temperatures and desertification trend will happen. That is, the desert will expand, the cover of the desert globally will expand, and places like Crete, for instance, will have to change all their agricultural habits. So there will be a great issue with water supplies. So this trend will be general, even for people, the need to move northward.
Dr. Psara, scientists warned that the sea snot that we saw in the Sea of Marmara was not only linked to rising temperatures, but also pollution. Can you expand on the impact that pollution had here?
This is quite right. This phenomenon is equally linked to pollution, because the Sea of Marmara is even a much smaller sea compared to the Mediterranean, for instance, and a very enclosed sea. It has a surface area that is similar to the Gulf of Corinth, and it hosts over 25 million people around it. So there are big industries and big cities and all the tourist industry around its coast with no major water plants and sewage treatment. So there has been a constant dumping of organic and inorganic wastes into the Sea of Marmara. This phenomenon started over a decade now. I think it was first seen in 2008. The issue this year is that this phenomenon was more persistent. It started around January and it's still present, and it was more persistent and it covered a huge area in the Sea of Marmara, and it even was diffused into the Aegean through the Dardanelles Straits, and it reached Lesbos Island. So this is definitely linked to pollution, but rising temperature also helps. There is a synergistic effect in that area. But these phenomena may take place, as I said, in more enclosed areas, like, for instance, in the Gulf of Thessaloniki or in Kaloni Gulf in Lesbos Island, where we have enclosed and not very turbid waters, and bigger cities and big harbors. So the open seas in the Aegean are very, very clean as regards pollution.
What steps do you think are needed in order to assist the scientific community in its research so that we can have a more complete understanding of the effects of climate change on our seas and oceans?
Well, actually, there is need to support national monitoring in all aspects of marine biogeochemistry, ecosystem functioning, and its interaction with the atmosphere and land. And basically to produce long time series of data that will be over 30 years long. Otherwise, no assumption can be made for true climate change effects. Such initiatives have already been undertaken by various institutions in Greece. For example, the University of Crete has been monitoring atmospheric parameters for over 25 years now at a site in the northern Crete, while the Hellenic Center for Marine Research, where I work, has been monitoring the marine environment through its network of oceanographic buoys deployed in the frame of its operational Poseidon system for over two decades now, but also has complemented this work with field sampling and monitoring of biodiversity and marine biota, essentially in two sites, the Saronikos Gulf and the open Cretan Sea. In the same time, the two major EU directives, that is, the Water Framework Directive and the Marine Strategy Framework Directive, are already being implemented in the Mediterranean and Greek waters. thus supporting national monitoring the last decade. But this is not enough, and still a lot has to be done with national funding and national policies, because marine research now, as the research in general in Greece, relies essentially on EU projects and to a lesser extent on national money. While the increasing use for research purposes of EU structural investment funds the last years through the ESPA framework, that is rather addressed to the construction industry, has highly complicated the implementation of research projects in Greek academic and research institutions. Therefore, there is a clear need for national money that will be directly allocated to environmental research that may give back great results and the means to mitigate the effects of climate change both on land and at sea. Also, a great effort has to be undertaken to inverse the brain drain of young researchers and postdocs, which bears a huge cost for Greek science and economic development.
Dr. Psara, politicians have been sounding the alarm about climate change in Greece following this month's devastating fires and intense heat waves. Do you think we need to be sounding the alarm when it comes to our seas and oceans as well?
Well, regarding these alarms that you mentioned, I think this is what we say, too little, too late. I'm afraid that this alarm can rather be considered as hypocritical, because no serious measures are taken as long as I can remember myself. It is true that the effects of climate change are first experienced on land rather than at sea, just because the water has a bigger capacity to absorb temperature increases, and thus changes take longer to appear at sea. So no alarm so far for protecting our seas by the official state. But here and now, as humanity, we are facing an urgent need for a change of paradigm. That's what I think, and many people also mention. Above all, no measure and no research can take our primordial responsibility as humans, as citizens, and as governments to drastically change our lifestyle, which is based on the economic mantra, produce more, consume more, profit more. This positive feedback is what is leading us to severely altering the conditions of everyday life of millions of people on highly impacted areas, and maybe to our extinction as a species, together with lots of other species that are being extinct every day.
Dr. Psara, thank you for joining us on The Greek Current. It was great speaking with you.
Thank you very much.
In other news, on Wednesday, Prime Minister Kyriakos Mitsotakis told Parliament that the wildfires that ripped through the outskirts of Athens and other parts of Greece this month underlined the need for radical shifts in behavior to tackle global warming. His statements came during a debate on the wildfires and criticism of the government's response to them. Mitsotakis told lawmakers an earlier public apology for the disaster was also a call for action to become better at tackling such phenomena. He said Greece will boost its firefighting capability with the purchase and lease of additional water-dropping aircraft. He also announced plans to create a special unit made up of forestry experts and firefighters that will be able to operate more effectively in the forests. Finally, an airbase hosting Turkish drones in the Turkish-occupied northern third of Cyprus is ratcheting up unease among neighboring countries, which see the station as an added instrument of instability in the turbulent eastern Mediterranean region. The deployment of the drones provides Turkey with a wider strike capability that has upped regional unease. The Cypriot government views the drone deployment as a means for Turkey to pursue what it called an expansionist agenda, while an Egyptian official who spoke to the Associated Press described the deployment as another in a series of Ankara's provocative measures that require a firm reaction from the international community, especially the United States and the European Union. That wraps up today's episode of The Greek Current. Thanks for tuning in.